Hello and welcome to the Swiss Info program. I'm Susan Masika. To start us off, I'd like you to imagine a cow. What do you see? What color is she? And what's she doing? Has she got horns? If the cow in your mind's eye has horns, it would make this man very happy.
My name is Armin Kapaul. I'm a mountain farmer in the Bernese Jura. I've lived here with my family for the past 20 years. We have cows, sheep, goats, donkeys, dogs, cats, and chickens. It's idyllic here.
That was Armin Kapaul, a Swiss farmer who's been campaigning on behalf of cattle. He believes that it's inhumane to remove their horns. In fact, he feels so strongly about the issue that he's spent the past 5 years and about $55,000 trying to convince people that cows and goats need their horns. In Switzerland, as in many other countries, it's common to remove the horns when the animals are young, often using a hot poker. The idea is that this can prevent injuries, but it's a painful procedure requiring anesthesia. Whether as a result of this or selective breeding, only about 10% of Swiss cows have horns.
I decided I wanted to be a voice for the cows in Switzerland. And I wanted to support the farmers who leave the horns on their cows and goats.
Armin is so passionate about the subject that he's trying to get a new law in place. It would provide federal funding to farmers whose cows and goats do have horns. All Swiss citizens have the right to propose new legislation by launching a people's initiative. If enough people express their support, it goes to a nationwide vote. I was curious to meet someone going to so much trouble in the name of animal welfare. Armin offered to pick me up at the nearest train station, about an hour's ride from Bern. We shook hands, and I hopped into his car, where a twangy mix of country and rock was blaring from the speakers. It was the late American singer-songwriter J.J. Cale. Armin said to me, J.J. is a soulmate of mine, you know? I didn't know anything about J.J., but what I did know after a few minutes driving in the car was that I was really glad that Armin was driving. It was almost spring, and the twisted and narrow road leading up to his farm was still covered in snow, impossible to navigate without four-wheel drive and a sturdy set of nerves. I couldn't really say who your typical farmer was, but I'm pretty sure it's not Armin, a colorful man with funky knitwear and a bushy beard. Now in his mid-60s, he's got an old hippie vibe about him. There are feathers hanging from his rearview mirror, a nod to his fascination with Native Americans.
They respected nature and knew that Mother Earth feeds us. Cows are supposed to have horns. A cow whose horns are removed can't provide healthy milk because she's been mutilated.
We pulled up to Armin's house, built in a chalet style, and perched in the wooded hills between Canton's Bern and Jura. Once inside, he suggested I put on some slippers, but not the silly felt ones you often get in a Swiss home. These were made of straw and sturdy and comfortable. The open-plan kitchen was bright and full of houseplants. There I met his wife Claudia, a friendly woman with a long gray braid. She put down her knitting and offered me some chai tea. Armin had a phone call to make, so Claudia and I chatted about her husband's crusade for the cows. She said it's not right the way cows are treated today. But her husband's initiative should get people thinking about the issue, and that's why she finds it so good. She also pointed out that it's a real people's initiative, with folks from all over Switzerland supporting Armin. Their three adult children have helped as well. However, Armin's early attempts to collect signatures were a disaster. Most passersby, maybe thinking he was a beggar on account of his shaggy look, simply hurried by. On the first day, it took him hours to get just 15 names. But he didn't give up.
I had to stay motivated. And my wife said that until I had 100 signatures, I needn't come home in the evening. So I knew what I had to do.
Armin upped his game and came up with colorful clothing and signs to help illustrate his cause. He gradually gained momentum, and as time wore on, people volunteered to help him collect signatures and mail them to his remote farm. On the day I visited, the Kapals had received about 100 envelopes in the mail, each containing numerous signatures. On their best day, it was about 2,300 signatures. Sounds like a lot, doesn't it? But for a Swiss People's Initiative, you need at least 100,000 signatures from Swiss citizens, and you have to collect them within 18 months. The admin can be overwhelming. Sorting the signatures by hometown, sending all the names to the local authorities for verification, and keeping an accurate tally. Not to mention spreading the word and collecting even more signatures. Plus, Armin has a farm to run. Oh, yeah. Now, what would a visit to a farm be without a trip into the barn? In case you couldn't guess, that was a cow answering nature's call. Armin took me to meet his herd of brown cows and watch the calves at feeding time. There were three of them, including a set of twins. Armin led them from their straw-bedded pen to their mother's, each at her assigned manger because it was cold outside. Feeding time ended once the udders were empty. I followed the calves back to their crib and took a few photos. Nearby, a young bull sniffed my microphone, perhaps hoping for a special snack. Armin, who got his farming degree in Graubünden in 1976, points out that the mood is very relaxed in his barn, which also houses goats and sheep. As he told me, the cows are content. It's almost like they're in a trance. While the cows were eating, Armin showed me the bench where he meditates and listens to what he calls flower power music. Posters for Woodstock and Pink Floyd decorate a wall. I took advantage of the mellow mood and took a cow by the horn. Well, not quite. But Armin encouraged me to touch the horns of a cow named Nevada. They were surprisingly warm, especially near her head. Armin says the horns help animals regulate their body temperature. Nevada didn't seem to mind having a stranger stroke her. Instead, she just looked at me with her huge brown eyes and continued chewing her cud. But then she tried to lick me. So in the end, I was more wary of her tongue than of her horns. I asked Armin whether he could understand why some farmers might worry about people or other animals being injured by a horn.
This is eine faule Ausrede.
That's a lazy excuse. Cows have always had horns. There didn't used to be so much worry about injuries. People used to have more of a connection to the animals. You'd hug and stroke them and talk to them.
He told me he didn't like the trend of modern dairy farming, where the cows are automatically milked and fed by robots. He says there's too little human interaction. And this is a problem when the cows go out to pasture, because then they're not familiar enough with people. We left the barn and headed back to the house. There are only a couple of other homes in the forest clearing where Armin lives. He remarked on how peaceful it was.
It's like a reservation here. You can think freely, you know. And there are no cars or trains rushing past. It's really quiet. And at night, it's completely dark. There are no street lamps.
On the horizon is Armin's retirement, which means he won't actually benefit if his initiative is accepted in a popular vote. But he doesn't care.
The experience has already made me richer. Doing something for those who can't defend themselves. And that is payment enough.
Some weeks after meeting him, I learned that Armin had managed to persuade more than 150,000 people to sign his initiative. More than 120,000 of the signatures were deemed valid by the local authorities. Now, it's up to the federal authorities to double-check and recount the signatures. If there are at least 100,000 valid ones, then the federal government will be obliged to put Kapal's initiative to a national vote. So in a few years, that could mean more cows and goats with horns, and more cash in the pockets of their farmers. Visit us at swissinfo.ch for the latest on this and other stories related to direct democracy. Thanks for listening, and thank you to studio technician Daniel Wheeler. I'm Susan Masika.
You're